Hey, this is Tanya. Welcome to Girl Call Me, the podcast for, by, and about Black women. We hope you enjoy today's conversation as we chat about all things health, relationships, and life. We'll have you laughing, testifying, and most importantly, feeling seen and whole as the beautiful Black woman you are. Now on to the nonsense. Hey everyone, thanks so much for listening. So Jessica, you know, every episode we should really do a pulse check. So what, how are you feeling today? Let me take your pulse.
Oh, how am I feeling? First of all, it's raining in LA. Wow. And normally I would be nervous about saying that because it would put a time and a date stamp. Uh-huh. Like, but it's raining.
Which is what
so
I was
lately.
Thinking. I was like, why is she talking about the weather?
Because it's been raining so much lately. I was just talking to my sister. She said, maybe you need an episode on seasonal depressional disorder. I'm like, maybe, because in California, this didn't used to be our problem.
And you know, people in the East Coast will have a slight problem with our privilege in the saying, yeah, normally we do not live in Seattle or, you know, the Northeast. We're just having right. a little rain right now. We could survive, I think. Don't you think?
Yeah, I mean,
You're going to make it.
I choose to live somewhere where this is not an issue. But here we are. So I'm doing fine. Making it through.
a little seasonal depression. But making it through. Making it through. Anyway, let's move
anyway,
on.
Here we are.
Before we dive into the topic, huh?
Yeah. Can I just say before we dive in, like, thank you for listening.
I have been so excited
and my heart has been warmed listening and seeing comments, listening to voice notes from friends, seeing comments on YouTube and Insta. It is so
truly
amazing.
Grateful. Lots of gratitude overflowing. And I'm like, you know, when we started this, I was like, girl, if five people listen, I'm gonna be grateful. But now I'm hearing about people taking walks and listening. You know, relaxing and just listening with a cup of coffee. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Glad we can join you.
Mm-hmm. So today we are going to be diving into a topic that might be triggering for some, and it might be triggering for myself as we talk about it. And it's
might be triggering for some people who did research for this podcast. It might be triggering for some of those.
And maybe, yes, for those who did. And so there's a topic of hypochondria versus hypervigilance. Is there a difference?
Well, I was thinking that, like, is it versus or is it just both of them? Because you could probably have a healthy dose of both. So they're not really in competition with each other necessarily.
Yeah, I think. And if you have both, what is the impact on your life? Right. And I think it's important, I think, to talk about it because, like I said, I think we talked a little bit in last episode about anxiety and stress and how it takes itself and manifests itself in many different ways. So yeah, so when you look at the definition of hypochondria, it says it's an illness anxiety disorder. It's a mental health disorder that involves an intense fear of having or developing a serious illness. Interesting.
So that's a diagnosis.
Right. And then when you look at the idea of the hypervigilance, it seems like it's more rooted in trauma. So if you're hypervigilant, you're constantly looking around and it's more, it actually almost feels more like an action. It's actually rooted in PTSD in the sense of hypervigilance is a chronic state of heightened alertness and awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Let's think about how and why particularly people of color, Black people, would have a heightened awareness.
Yeah, I think when we talk about this subject with Black women, it's important to note that PTSD, yeah, it's, you know, something over 9% of African Americans have been diagnosed with PTSD, compared to, you know, on average, it's about 6.8% of non-Hispanic white Americans. We have a higher rate of PTSD because there's a higher rate of us being victims of traumatic and violent crime. There's, you know, exposure to racism, which we know already can increase people's risk of developing PTSD. So I think when we talk about hypervigilance, and probably I would venture to believe that people don't notice it in health probably as much as they do in other things, that hypervigilant piece, right? Of like, you're not going to catch me. I got to stay on top of something. I got to do more. I got to do, you know, like no one's going to get ahead of me on this type of thing. I'm never going to be caught in X situation again, right?
Right. Yeah. When I think about my upbringing and my family background, you know, I think you and I have talked about the fact that being hypervigilant was something that it feels almost like I have to be, because, you know, I think even starting at age 10, you know, my grandma was diagnosed with lung cancer at 50, which I was about 10. And for a majority of my adult life, until she passed away when I was 19, there was almost like every 6 months she was basically, doctors were like, she has 6 months to live. She has 6 months to live. So there is sort of in me that let's get ahead of it. Let's get ahead of it. And you, as someone, there's many people out there who have been caretakers, and I was a caretaker at a very young age with my grandmother who had chemo, had radiation, who had bouts of, you know, in my family, it's not just the thinking about the doctors, but thinking about what herbs can you do in order to sort of like, you know, if the doctor's not going to help me, let's try an herb. And so, yeah, so for me, it's sort of the way in which I've always thought. Stay alert. Make sure you avoid it. What am I avoiding? I don't know what I'm avoiding, but I'm making sure it doesn't catch me.
Right. You look at Black people being more likely to be diagnosed with diabetes, Black women having a higher rate of white women in developing certain types of breast cancer.
Like 40%.
Right. Fibroids. We know that's, you know, I've had a conversation with a girlfriend the other day who was like, I don't know a woman in my family or my husband's family, this was a Black woman, who has a uterus, right? Mm. So you have all of these kind of stories that have been told to you, and that causes a certain sense of vigilance, if you will, where you kind of know what's coming. And it's like, okay, fine, I know I'm going to need to take care of this. It's that strong Black woman piece. So let me get ahead of this. Right.
Yeah. And just think about how much you trust your doctor. Thinking about, you know, in some ways, when you go to a doctor's office, you're not just going and saying, I trust my doctor and I'm just not going to. So no, you kind of go in. I go in with my own stats. I go in with my own awareness and understanding. I know. I got my PowerPoint presentation for him or her. And when you think about that hypervigilance thing, if, you know, as my grandma used to tell me, nobody's going to love you as much as you're going to love yourself. And so nobody's going to care for yourself as much as you're going to. So you have to be aware. And I think it can be dangerous in a sense that it can create anxiety and other stuff, but I don't know if we have an option as Black women. You know, thinking about the word hypochondria, I think it can be dangerous because when a Black woman or Black man or someone goes into a doctor's office and says, I feel like I have this, we can be easily dismissed and said, well, are you sure you have that? Or you have this level of pain. You heard so many stories about people going in, even during the pandemic, and doctors sending them home or saying, well, you're fine. You're not, you know, maybe you're not as much pain, and not giving them the medication that they need. So the hypochondria sort of narrative, sort of, I think we have to be really careful with that.
Yes, we do have to be careful with the narrative because it's a diagnosis. So having behaviors that exhibit some smidgen of hypochondria is not the same as like this extreme fear of something's wrong with me, I'm dying. This, you know, like that's a kind of a space that is reserved for a diagnosis. But I think that there is, you know, and I think you're right, there's this gaslighting piece of like that is triggering with, you know, hints of hypochondria. I mean, I know I feel that of, you know, it's like that boy who cried wolf type of thing, right? It's like, gosh, if I tell someone like what I'm really thinking about what probably is really wrong with me, then if something is really wrong with me, no one will believe me, or, you know, like that, you could get yourself in that type of cycle pretty quickly.
How do you thinking about how, and you know, thinking about how hypervigilance shows up for you, how does it show up for you? Not saying that you have it, but I'm just asking a question. Since we are doing this episode.
Hypervigilance. I mean, hypochondria, I think, shows up more for me. Okay. Personally, for sure. Right.
The first step is admitting.
I think I'm a storyteller by nature. So like, give me 3 or 4 data points and I'm off to the races. Right. Yeah. I am connecting. You ever seen that movie, A Beautiful Mind, where he has all of those like pieces of papers connected by a string?
Yes.
I feel visual. Like that's what happens. It's like, is that my throat? Oh my God. Is that my back? Hold on a second. Where is that? Okay. How long have I had that? Let me write a note. Let me track this in 4 days. I mean, it can get pretty wild.
Right. Why is my heart rate there? Why did my heart rate just peak? Oh, Lord Jesus.
Don't let me get actual data points that are not qualitative. And if you let yourself go there, and I will go there sometimes.
You know, Google Doctor is a very dangerous place to be. And now they have the data points. Okay. If you can go through and fill out a survey and then they'll somehow give you like 10 things that you might be. Not that I've gone there ever, but yes, it's a struggle.
Do you know how shameful is it when you like, this is really outing myself, but when you're like Googling something like, is blank a symptom of blank, right? Yeah. And you do it and you're like, it pops up like the first one, you're like, see, it is. And then it's like, oh no, that's my search history. That's not actually a finding. Okay.
If your search history is now diagnosed, it's time to walk away from Google. But no, it's serious. I mean, I think that there's so much, and like I said, there is, you're either on one end of the spectrum or another. You're either like, I'm too busy as a Black woman to go to the doctors to do anything, or you might just be like, based on my history, there are diseases out there. It doesn't help that we work in healthcare. There are diseases out there and I want to get ahead of it. I want to make sure that I can be here as long as possible. You know, I encourage people to go to the doctor. So, you know, I my cholesterol has been high and I even just got a blood test back and I was like, okay, my cholesterol is still high. And so I met with a new cardiologist and she told me about a test that I knew nothing about, calcium score. You can go, you spend $150 and they will let you know what the calcium buildup is in your heart, which tells them whether you are basically have heart disease or about to get heart disease. And that will inform her, which is a data point, will let her know whether she needs to put me on a medication. No other doctor has ever suggested that. They were like, we need to put you on a drug. We need to put you on a statin. And so in some ways, that's good. So I did the calcium scan and I should find out the results next week. But in some ways, it's also, there's so many people out there that goes, what is this calcium scan that this girl is talking about? And why do I, you know? So, I mean, knowledge is power, but knowledge is also, in some ways, some people could think knowledge is too much power. Knowledge, too much knowledge is a dangerous thing.
Well, it's what you do.
Because I got nervous. I get scared because of it. So now I'm like paranoid. Right. I'm like, right. Am I? So then you start going down the rabbit hole of,
right.
Well, if I have calcium scores high, then do I have heart disease? And I just felt a thing in my leg and my feet were this. And next, you know, I'm like,
that's what I mean about collecting out. Those data points. You walk around just with a bag and putting those data points in there, just looking for a story.
I'm not looking for a story. Let's just be clear.
For lots of people, for lots of different reasons, going to the doctor is a really triggering experience. And then, you know, when you get in the doctor, they tell you something. And I feel like people either hold on to what they told you as like, okay, this thing is the truth and I need to like full speed ahead with this thing. Or people are like, I don't trust anything you're saying anyway. And like you said, it's out of your mind.
Right.
How does holding on to something like that for you, does that make you feel more in control of like, okay, I got this one data point. So now this is going to help slow my spin, or does it just like ramp up the spin?
I think it depends on what the point is. What is that data point? If it's my
cholesterol. Because like how much did you Google calcium scan after you were there?
Well, when she suggested I have it, yes, I have a full, I knew the video, I had a video. I knew exactly what exactly they were going to do. I had the instructions right. And so forth. So I knew everything. But there are some data points that I might just, my cholesterol has been high for a minute. And so I'm like, well, is it? Am I good? But yeah, my heart. But then I use another data point that my heart rate is relatively in good points and my blood pressure is good. So I'm like, well, I might be all right. So I think there is, it's such a contradiction in a sense of,
yeah.
There is a contradiction that happens because I want all the data points, but the question is, what am I going to do with those data points?
Right. And
what's the healthy balance? We would love to hear from the audience. What is the healthy balance? And you know what? We need to have an expert come and really shed some light. Because clearly we don't have all the answers, but
if you go back to what Nicole Week said when she was here in our stress episode, we know what's not healthy is holding on to all of that and carrying it around. Like that is what we know for sure. Like we know for sure getting the information. Yes. Now we're informed, but what we do with the information and how we process the information that's the, at the core of the hypervigilance conversation is like, how are you managing it healthily? Like, right.
Right. And you know, what she said is you can have all of the data in the world. And if you're not listening at the end of the day, if you're not listening to your body,
right.
And taking care of it in however ways that is, whether it's listening to your body and going, you know what, I really don't feel well, so I'm going to go to the doctor. Or if you're just collecting data points, it's meaningless in the end of the day. And so, and also, are those data points really accurate?
Yeah, you're listening to your body, but at the same time, you're like spiraling out of control and causing your body to react. So you have to like be honest with yourself in that conversation, right? I can listen to my body. This happens to me all the time when people tell me, oh, just breathe. Just breathe.
Oh, I hate that. I don't need to calm, even.
You'll calm yourself down. I'm like, do you want to know how many times I have done breathing exercises and I look at my heart rate and it's higher after than when I started? Like just breathing doesn't work for me. And so if I'm just listening to my body in that situation, like that's not going to do me any good. It's actually
or why
like,
you open that Calm app and just do some meditation. That's the other one.
Well, let me tell you about my Calm app that I will fall asleep. In a 6 minute piece, I'm asleep by 2 minutes in. I'm like, you know what? This is
maybe that's what it's supposed to do for you. It's supposed to put you to sleep, get you to rest.
Well, usually I'm listening to it when I wake up, so maybe not. But
okay, girl. that's something else. That's another episode. So when we're thinking about hypochondria and you know hypervigilance, what, in some ways, have we learned? And what can we help other people based on what we, our knowledge? How can we help other people?
Yeah. For me, I think COVID was a huge aha for me in my experience with little bouts of hypochondria. You know, everyone had something at some point that could potentially be a symptom of something.
Right.
And I learned very early on, like, there is so much going on. If you try to diagnose everybody you know at every moment in time, like, this is not helping you. So for me, what I have learned is, you know, I have to just focus on myself. There is, people will present you with a story that seems like you're ready to jump into a judgment and tell someone to go do something and they should be really doing this and you should be doing that. And I think what I've learned is reporting the news to people is important, and pulling myself out of the, you know, the commentary, because the commentary is what spins you out of control, right?
Just, wow. That's really, I don't know. Interesting. Because I'm on the opposite end of that spectrum. And it's interesting. You mentioned COVID and I was like, ooh, yes. For people who are hypervigilant and have a scent of hypochondria, I say a scent, I'm just going to use that. Just a scent of hypochondria. Just a little bit. COVID was a rough road for the girl. And yeah. I still wear a mask everywhere I go. I still wear an air purifier when I go in public places. You can knock on wood, I have not gotten COVID. Probably one of the few. One of the few. But it has sort of, it did sort of shed a bright light on, you know, thinking about my life, you know, thinking about my family, thinking about my grandmother and her journey. And, you know, I don't want to equate it to cancer, but it was so much her journey of really struggling with health and thinking about what I didn't want. I didn't want to get it. And I was so obsessed with it. And it actually is still, I mean, I think 4 years later, it's still a hard thing for me to go out in the public and just be all happy. And that's hard for someone like me who was a very social person, I was hosting a party every week, right? But yes, if someone tells me that there's something going on with them, I'm like, why are you sniffling? Why are you coughing? And then someone said, people in my life really would rarely tell me that they have something unless it's like kind of bordering on, well, yeah, I may need Tanya's advice on finding a doctor because it's serious. Because they know, unlike you, who's going to be like, listen, call me if you need some help. I'm actually actively Googling and searching and sending them a reference. And you know what? I have been known to call and make somebody an appointment.
Look, I'm saying that I am moving more in that direction, but I started in the let me get all up in your business space. So
there's nothing wrong with being people's business and saving their lives, people's lives.
What I'm saying is like, I feel like I'm moving in the right direction.
Is that the right direction?
I mean, look, there's a fine line between being in someone's business and being.
Is it someone's business? See, that's supported. The thing I don't. That seems.
Well, with a communicable disease is a different thing. Okay. So, like, yes, if someone's up in your face and you like coughing and hacking, that's a very different story. Then if someone's like, you know, just out for their normal walk and they get a text message from Tanya that's like, hey girl, you said your heart rate's been high. Have you done a calcium score test yet? And you're like, okay, why is she all the way in my arteries?
Did I not send you that text when I got left the car?
You did. So I'm saying that was a poor example.
Are you trying to tell me something subtly? Okay.
I don't need to be subtle to tell you you're a busybody. A health busybody.
But I am a health busybody. I don't care about nothing else, but I do care about your health.
that's a smart thing. I mean, I do think that part of health literacy, like, is supporting each other, right? Is saying if someone tells you that you know, a symptom, and you know that, like, hey, that's something that sometimes goes unchecked, like, yeah, then of course say something. That's not what I mean. I just mean not everyone wants to be thinking about their not everyone wants to be in the spiral. Right. And not everyone wants to be in the spiral that I find myself in. And that's what I have to remember. Not everyone wants to get off the phone with me and Google. Right.
I will, like I said, I've saved a few people's lives, but it's fine. I get your point. I'm in several people's wills.
Not a God complex.
I have no problems. I have no God complex. No, I mean, yes, you know what? I think there is a happy medium between the both of us, but there's also, if people choose to not be either one of us and choose to just mind their business and literally not, you know, go to doctors because only when they're not well, that's fine too. You know, I think, you know, there's not a perfect way. There's not a perfect science to how to deal with health, but I do think, and I would say for Black women, it's important for us to kind of care about each other and be my sisters. I'm going to be there for my sister, and I'm going to be like, you might not know about this calcium score, but go get that calcium score, because there's too many of us dropping dead of heart attacks and nobody knows why.
I want to make sure that everyone in my – the thing I do for sure is I want to make sure that every person in my network, in my, you know, orbit knows that if they have a question – I'm the person that they can come to, because I'm not because I know the answer, but because I'm going to help them find it. And you that's just the commitment I have. I'm just trying not to proactively suggest something where I've maybe made some missteps in the past. I'm just being honest. Right. Perhaps I have overstepped my own welcome in some places before.
And you know what? I appreciate how you've evolved. And I'm still going, and I'm happy to be kicked out of this place.
Evolving.
And I stay in the stand of, listen, you might be mad, but I may save your life.
That's hypervigilant. And that, folks, we spent 35 minutes getting to what is hypervigilance. She just told you.
It's Tanya. It's me. She said,
I may be bothering you 30 times, but if that 31st time I save your life, it was all worth it, right?
Great. Listen, that was that. So yes, we are going to, our plan is to bring an expert. Maybe it's a therapist, because there clearly needs to be some therapy going on.
Right.
But just really being an expert so we can really continue to unpack this conversation, because it is an important conversation as we continue to navigate our health journeys.
Hey, it's Jessica. Thanks for listening to Girl Call Me. If you have something to add or a story to share, come on over to Instagram or Facebook and join the conversation. Also, make sure you follow and subscribe Girl Call Me. You don't want to miss when we release new episodes. Thanks for listening.